Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth, coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. Delight to be with you today, and I'm so thankful that you have taken the time to tune our way. We trust your heart to be blessed and challenged as we talk about this boldness, the Christian character of boldness to declare God's wonderful word. And we're looking at how that boldness comes. We just talked about last week's broadcast, the fact that that boldness comes in the avenue of prayer as we seek God's face. It's not in the words, but it's in the dependence upon the Lord. And so we'll pick up on that a little bit today. So get your Bibles, and you may turn. In fact, I want you to turn back to Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll start there in just a few minutes. Father, I want to thank you for the privileges ours to share the good word of God with these precious folk. We do not take this for granted, Lord. As we share the word of God, we realize we have people here listening that may be going through great trials and affliction, persecution, health problems. We have people that are on top of the mountain right now. You're blessing them, and they're sensing that blessing, and they're sharing your working in their lives with others. Would you continue to bless them and meet every need? Then there are those who are going through great valleys of affliction in finances and work or whatever. Lord, I just pray that you will undergird them and strengthen them for these hours. Now, Lord, I pray that you will bless abundantly in saving some precious souls, encouraging Christians to grow in the grace and knowledge of thee. And we're going to praise thee, Lord, for the power, the strength, the energy you give us to declare your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ask me what makes Jesus such a special man, why I completely trust him, you cannot understand. I'll tell you why, because he died up on Calvary's tree and gave his life that I might live with him eternally. You ask me why to walk this way, why I find that serving Jesus gets sweeter every day. I'll tell you why, because he died and shed his blood for me, and on that cross he gave his life to pay sin's penalty. You ask me why I'm happy, why I'm confident and sure. It's Jesus in my heart that makes me so secure. I'll tell you why, because he died up on Calvary's tree and gave his life that I might live with him eternally. And gave his life that I might live with him.
Amen. I hope that was a blessing to your heart. We've asked you to turn to the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs, a tremendous book to give us the insight to what God wants to do in our lives. And we're talking about this boldness, and you're not going to find the word boldness in the portion of scripture we're going to read here this morning, but we're just going to give you the these thoughts from this portion of scripture. You're familiar with, of course, verses 5 and 6, probably the most familiar verses out of the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, we're familiar with those two verses. So what would they have to do with boldness? Well, the reason I looked at these verses and thought, you know, here's an ideal thought from the Word of God. I'm going through the trials and the testings. I need boldness. So as I go through these testings and trials, and I'm talking that for, when I say I, I'm talking about that for the, we believers, I am not to use my own wisdom, my own strength. I am going to face, you know what we read in Matthew chapter 10, that don't think what you're going to say to the to those who bring you into prison or bring before the council, before kings and rulers, don't think what you're going to say ahead of time. You see, if you and I have our hearts prepared in the Word of God, God will give it to us. Have you ever thought about some of these old-time preachers? And I've known a number of them. It's been my privilege over the years. But have you ever thought about some of these men? They stand in front of you and they preach the Word of God. And it just seems that they pull Scripture right out of the air. I mean, they can get a verse over here. They get a verse over here. Bring them together. Now, they don't go out of context. That's not the point. What I'm saying is, it just seems that God, and I believe in more cases than not, it is God just bringing to their mind while they're standing in that pulpit in front of all these people. He's giving them the Scriptures, and sometimes it's only a portion of a verse. But to bring out that point of truth that God wants his people to hear. And what Solomon is saying here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. You're going to get through some of these difficult situations, and it's going to take strictly the power of God. But don't you worry about getting it. God will give it to you for that hour. God will help you in that hour accomplish a task. Now, go on with me now to verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In other words, don't develop your own plan. In other words, you depend upon the Lord. Don't be wise in your own eyes. I know I can deal with this thing here. I can handle this. No, we probably can't. You and I will make a bigger mess of it than what it is. Just let the Lord handle this thing. And it may seem like it's going backwards, but God is in control of the whole thing. He sees the end from the beginning. Then he goes on to say, now you just be not wise in your own eyes, but trust the Lord, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. In other words, there's the strength. There's the boldness. The marrow in your bone is the strengthening of your bones physically, so that you might be able to stand and might be able to go and might be able to do that which you need to do. But spiritually speaking, it is going to be strength to thee, to you and to me, so that we might be able to cover the ground, if you please, that God wants us to do. Take that stand that he wants us to take. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Thy precious shall burst out with new wine. Now, we use these two verses to talk about tithing and giving financially, and there's no question you can use that. That is exactly there. But I want you to understand something else. As I come before the Lord and I honor him with my life, he will grant the strength and the ability in this body, in my physical being, he will give me the strength and the ability to carry out the task that he has put before us. Then he says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be very weary of his correction. You see, in the process of me seeking God's strength and his abilities in the job he's given me to do, you see, he may have to deal with some sin in my life. They may be sins of omission or sins of commission. And he has to deal with those so he can better equip us to be able to go out and do that battle for him. Now, I like verse 13, and I'm just going to read this one, then we'll move on to something else. He says, happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, the gain thereof than fine gold. And so he says, this is what we need to do. Allow the Lord to chasten us, allow him to bring us in conformity to his will, and allow him to get the glory out of our lives. Now turn back with me to Isaiah in chapter 50. Isaiah is a tremendous book. I've been reading through it again. Like somebody said, read through it again for the first time. Well, I've read through Isaiah many, many times, but I'm reading through it again. And what a blessing. Things have popped out into, I guess I saw that before, but boy, does that ever really encourage my heart, or what Isaiah is declaring. Look with me, at chapter 50 and verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. As I come before the Lord and I seek His wisdom, His power, His grace, His strength to do the task that is before me, whether it be in the face of persecution, whether it be in the face of even death, I can have the confidence that I have He has my back. Can I say it that way? But He has my front too. He takes care of me. Notice, if you will, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. In other words, they were turning away from the Lord. So God says, don't walk in my light, walk in your own and see what happens. Beloved, He wants us to walk in the light of the Lord. In Him was light. The light was the life of the light of men, and the darkness comprehended not that light. John talks about that in John chapter 1. You see, my friend, you and I need the light of the Lord guiding us. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee, but Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, as we get into this word, as we allow the word to get into us, it does its work of illuminating our path before us. And we can see the direction God wants us to go. So to have His boldness, I need His light. I need to be walking in the light. We're to walk in the light as He is in the light. And so that's exactly what He's trying to tell Israel, what He's trying to get across to the nation of Israel. You walk in the light of the Lord, not in the fleshly sight of the light of day and the light, illuminated light at night. You walk in the light of the Lord. Allow the Lord to guide you, direct you, lead you, for He knows the pitfalls that are in that trail. Now, let's look at, again, this matter of boldness, and we'll pick up on a thought of boldness in the matter of prayer. As we come before the Lord, not, again, presumptuously, but we come before Him with boldness, we're going to go back to the book of Hebrews, and I think what we'll do right now is look at or listen to another song, and then we can get in here and stay with the thought as we turn back to Hebrews and chapter 4.
There's a cloud of many witnesses with Christ in heaven above. Watching as we run this race, they cheer us on in love. There are faces we have seen before and more we've never known. They fought the battles, took their stand. We reap what they have sown. So ashamed to claim the name of Jesus. I am not ashamed to tell the world He's mine. Gladly I'll proclaim this gospel to all people. I am not ashamed, I will claim His name.
Now I take my stand in Jesus.
I'm not ashamed to praise his name, to declare his name. How about you, my friend? Are you ashamed of that? Sometimes we are, though, are we not? Sometimes we're kind of timid to declare the name of the Lord. Maybe timid to hand out a gospel tract. Timid to say something about the Lord. Well, beloved, we need to be faithful to the Lord and ask him for that boldness. Now, we've talked about, we just talked a little bit about there in Proverbs 3, 5, and following, and Isaiah 50, about the matter of boldness as we take that action through faith. I want to talk to you about boldness through prayer. Now, I'm not going to go back and pick up Acts chapter 3 and 4, which we could easily do. And then there are other places throughout the book of Acts that show how these disciples prayed and sought the Lord for his boldness, his power, his strength, and how God gave it to them. I'm going to go to a couple other passages of Scripture, and then you can put them together with each of those, because that's what it's all about. We need to come before the Lord in prayer. You and I need to empty ourselves of ourselves, and we need to come to the Lord in prayer and realize, there's an adage or a saying that said, we need to work like it all depends on us and pray like it all depends on God, because it does. Well, that may sound pretty good, and it is, but you and I need to be, yes, active, but we need to pray. Pray first, having his strength, his power, but then be willing to go with it. You know, it's not one of those things that God's going to put a blinking light in front of you and say, now you've got power, get going. No, we pray and ask him for his wisdom, and then we go out and as sheep among wolves. But we go out with the word of God. Now, over in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 4, we read this in verse 14. Now, notice this is a challenge to us to come and pray. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. I want you to notice that. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like we are. He knows exactly what you and I are going through, what we have faced. He knows exactly the hurts, the sorrows, the heartache. He knows the challenges of men as raging bulls or wolves against the sheep. He knows what it is to have that kind of thing facing him daily. And so he is then, in that sense, he is a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I've met pastors that, I pray I've never been that way. But anyway, I've met pastors who you can't even get to first base talking to them because they seem to be higher than you will ever be. And I figure they are higher than I'll ever get. So if you ignore me, listen, that's okay. I just go the other way. I don't have to be recognized. But very interestingly, I've seen people that have. I remember one pastor. He and I graduated college together, and he had gotten a particular honor, and I'm glad he got that honor. It doesn't bother me. I'm glad he got it. But he got an honor, and boy, I mean, you try to talk to him, I mean, he'd just walk right by me. I was a little peon, I didn't know anything, and I didn't. I probably didn't. But like I say, we graduated the same time, and in fact, I was older than he was. But he was taller than I was, so maybe that made it, huh? I don't know. But very simply, what I'm trying to say is he thought himself, I think, better than what he really was. I'm glad he was honored because he had done some things for the Lord that are to be commended. But, if you get honored for having done something for the Lord, don't be too proud about that. Be thankful, yes. But my friend, you know, it's only by God's grace that you were able to do whatever you did. And it's by God's grace that people would recognize that which you had done. So he says that we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And so we can come. And that's why he says in verse 16, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, Christ went through all of the torment that we face. But God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Philippians chapter 2. Yet he can be approached by you and me. Is that not wonderful? This is the God who created all things, allowed himself to come into through the womb of a virgin, come into this sin-cursed world, die on an old rugged cross after living a perfect life. And now he says, you can come to me. I don't care who you are. You can come directly to me. So if we need strength and help and encouragement in our daily walk for the Lord, we can come to the Lord. Now go with me over to chapter 10. Hebrews is a wonderful book and some great lessons on prayer. But come over to chapter 10, and let's look at verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, where do we get that boldness? To be able to come and realize that he will answer our prayer? Well, chapter 4, where we're just at. He says, now we can come by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Then he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, beloved, very simply, Jesus Christ is faithful. He is as faithful. He's faithful to us. He will do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. And so we're to come boldly before him. And I think that's what you see with the disciples over there in the book of Acts, as we had already referenced just last message, and then here made reference to it again in this message. And then, you know, there's something else that we can look at when we think about this boldness. You know, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we need boldness to go and serve the Lord. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things that we have need of, the things that physical needs or what have you, all these things shall be added unto you. And, you know, again, I go back and I think about, when I think of this boldness, you know, the Lord has given us the armament. He's given us the equipment to stand against the evil day, to stand against the evil predators against the Lord. He's given us that strength. But you know, when he gave us that equipment to battle, the soldier's equipment, if you please, he put something in verse 18 that is a beautiful, beautiful thought. And you might not think about that. You and I, as we would approach that equipment that we're to wear. But in verse 18, he says that we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When I have that equipment on, I'm going to do battle. I have to do battle, because you're the arch enemy of the souls out there doing it. But I'm to be praying, and I'm not only to be praying that I can do it, I'm to be praying for the brethren who are going through that same persecution, going through that same trial, that same testing. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, with this armament on and with the prayer going forth, And for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, beloved, God is giving us this equipment. He's telling us to pray, but we're to be praying for the other soldiers who are out there doing the job. You know, beloved, God wants you and me to be successful in our conquest for His glory, whatever that may be, whatever that may mean. And He wants us to depend upon Him. But in the process of depending upon Him, He wants us to be praying for the others who are out there on that battlefield. Because the battle is as strong for them as it is for us. So we need to be praying for one another. And as we do that, God can use us in a marvelous way. The character of boldness in the matter of prayer. I hope and pray that you daily seek the face of the Lord for the strength, the ability to serve Him. If we might be of spiritual help to you, my friend, would you give us a contact us at email at wot@wotbm.org. Or you can send us a hard copy letter, and we'll give you whatever help spiritually we can. And you can send that to Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA. Father, use your word to prepare hearts and lives in our service for Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.